How are voters in New Hampshire different from the rest of the country?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. On the morning of the first primary of the election season, the all-important New Hampshire contest and the Republican presidential candidates are anxiously awaiting the returns, which could have an effect on the rest of the primary season. Now, New Hampshire is a mostly rural state, mostly white and mostly well-educated, and with an economy that's doing better than most of the rest of the country. Marketplace's John Dimsdale is with us now to talk about that. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Steve.
So New Hampshire isn't really representative of the rest of the country, perhaps, when it comes to the economy, eh?
Well, like we saw in Iowa, which had its presidential caucuses last week, New Hampshire is growing faster than the national average. Its unemployment is 5.2%, one of the lowest in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Poverty is low. It has no income tax, no sales tax. So in that context, you'd think the candidates going after votes in New Hampshire wouldn't need to play up any financial solutions for the economy. But Steve Dupree, who's the Republican National Committee man from New Hampshire, says that there's no way candidates can ignore the economic issues.
They always talk about jobs because they realize they're not only speaking to New Hampshire voters, but nationally, but they focus more on the debt and deficit because this is such a conservative state fiscally.
A state that has a lot of power, John. New Hampshire, of course, lots of candidates have dropped out if they can't perform well, right?
That's right. History, geography, and population give New Hampshire a big say in the making of a president. It's famous for one-on-one relationships with politicians. The primary voters there have an opportunity to look the candidates in the eye, get to know them much better than states that have large media markets, where most of the campaigning is on television. So New Hampshire, well, it may not be representative as far as the economy goes, it does test a candidate's electability and therefore gives them some momentum going into the rest of the campaign.
All right. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reporting from Washington. John, thanks.
You're welcome.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are up right now. The S&P and NASDAQ each up more than 1% at the moment. The Dow is up 0.75%, 94 points, 12,486. European markets are higher right now, too, anywhere between 1% and 2.5%. Businesses barely increased their inventories in November. The Commerce Department said today those wholesale businesses may boost their stockpile soon due to customer demand. China today said the gap between what it exports and imports shrank last year. The country reported its lowest trade surplus in 3 years. Well, China's exports took a big hit in Europe because of the sour economy there, and its import growth took an even bigger hit as Chinese consumers bought fewer things last year. Now, what does that mean for the rest of us? The BBC's Michael Bristow is with us now from Beijing with the latest on that story. Hey, Michael.
Hi, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. What's going on here?
So there's two things at play here. Essentially, with exports have slowed because external demand in Europe and in America has slowed slightly. The demand for imports has slowed because demand in China is slowing down. The economy is slowing down here because for the last year or so, the government has been trying to slow the economy down because it fears inflation. It doesn't want to go too fast. So both those things are happening because of different reasons.
What does that mean, Michael, for the global economy?
It means that China was once seen as a big engine of growth, that it would carry on demanding imports or commodities from places like Australia and Brazil, churning out exports around the world. But if the Chinese economy slows a little bit, and figures over the last few months about growth suggest that it is, then that will have a kind of a drag on the world economy as well. And as everybody knows, this is a particular time when the world economy doesn't need another drag.
How does this news, Michael, affect the pressure the U.S. is putting on China to allow its currency, the yuan, to appreciate?
Well, there is still a trade surplus China has with the United States. And whilst ever that is the case, I think there's going to be pressure from the United States to allow the yuan to appreciate. Essentially, the argument is that the lower yuan gives Chinese exporters an advantage over American firms. And so while ever there's a trade surplus, that argument will continue.
The BBC's Michael Bristow in Beijing. Michael, thanks.
Thank you very much.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. and by Reputation.com. Monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
In the next few weeks, a Spanish company will begin exploring for oil in the deep waters off the coast of Cuba. Well, U.S. personnel checked the oil rig out to make sure it complies with American standards. And by the way, it does. But that's not stopping some people from worrying about a worst-case scenario and Cuba from looking at some big dividends. Here's Marketplace's Jeff Tyler.
The oil wells will be drilled thousands of feet beneath the sea. And even though they are about 70 miles from Florida, the oil wells will be in Cuban waters. That presents a challenge in case of an emergency.
The fact that we do not have good relations with Cuba makes any coordination during an oil spill more difficult.
Michael Lynch is president of the consultancy Strategic Energy and Economic Research. He says the Spanish oil company Repsol has a good reputation for safety.
I don't think that we would be under any special threat, especially given the fact that this is a world-class company doing the drilling.
How much oil are we talking about? Paul Weimer is a geology professor at the University of Colorado at Boulder.
It ranges in the several billion barrel range.
At today's prices, 1 billion barrels of oil is worth more than $100 billion. But Weimer says that fortune won't materialize overnight. It typically takes 6 to 10 years to get newly discovered oil to market. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
Finally this morning, a lot of folks, of course, embark on some sort of weight loss plan this time of year. And one company wants to get Fido involved in that, too. Nestle, the Swiss company that owns Jenny Craig and Purina, has started an online program to help people and their pets shed the pounds. On their website, users can follow overweight cats and dogs on their fitness journeys through movies and before and after pictures. But you know what? I'm curious. If you fall off the wagon with that big bucket of fried chicken, will you be taking Fido or mittens with you? I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
You sit down, you flip on the television, and boom, just like that, you're inundated with choices.
There are certain channels that you look at, like, everyone pays for, no one knows why they pay for. If you're a channel that people pay for and don't know why, you have a very short lifespan.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Pay what you need. The future of TV next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.